Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so episode 9 of the Cool Shit Podcast. My name is Gareth Carter. And like a bad smell that you can't get rid of. Got some returning guests again. Oh my words. Gina from High Stakes Films. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Not smelling bad, though.
Heard you had some dinner plans that you cancelled to do this tonight.
I did.
Because
that's...
you love coming on the podcast
so
much.
Yeah, that's how committed I am. I did cancel my dinner plans.
And Siva from Salford, how are you?
Good. How are you, Gareth?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very happy to have you guys back.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, there you go. Not so happy to have this man opposite me again, but it's kind of the setup and it's kind of the podcast, so it is what it is. James, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit Podcast. How are you going, little chef?
I'm good. I've never been called a man before, so thank you for that. But yeah, I'm doing all right.
So yeah, how's it been this week? Have you been reveling in cool shit stories? Is the universe turning round at a good pace for you, or are we a bit slow?
I found some stuff that I like. There's some kind of more quirky novelty stuff, and then some potentially fairly significant stuff. So yeah, I'm pleased with the universal cool shit this week.
Okay, quirky and naughty. Can't argue with that. Okay,
I didn't say naughty.
Oh, what did you say?
You did say naughty.
I did not say naughty.
He 100 million... It's recorded, James.
Yeah, we'll have to just go back and
you
listen to the
naughty.
Recording. Yeah.
Why would I say naughty?
Whatever you said, you're so unclear. You need to work on your language skills, young man.
I need to enunciate. I do mumble.
Yeah. So go on, what have we got?
Well, the first naughty story... I feel we could be accused on this podcast on focusing on the trivial, like, say, speaking hypothetically... a new Batman film or a big strawberry.
Oh my God.
So, hypothetically. So, I thought it would make sense to talk about something that could potentially have fairly significant implications. In case you hadn't heard, Elon Musk is buying Twitter for $44 billion. Discuss.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So, you're bringing this as a piece of perhaps cool shit. Is that what you're saying? Is this a...
It's kind of momentous. It's noteworthy shit. I think it would have been bizarre to not talk about it at all. And especially because it's proved to be very controversial, with some people absolutely devastated about it, and some people, and even some people who aren't named Donald J. Trump, are particularly happy about it.
What are people unhappy about Elon Musk taking over Twitter? What's the gripe about him having a huge stake, or the biggest stake in Twitter?
I think he's putting free speech... he's championing free speech, so he'd be kind of walking back the content moderation on Twitter. Because currently it's very easy to get flagged or get banned on Twitter... and I think he's basically going to make it so people can say quite a lot more without getting flagged and banned.
I think he wants to talk about timeouts, doesn't he? So, for instance, you know, let's take, obviously, one of the big Twitter bans was Donald Trump. So, during the election, when he was spouting untruths, he would have just had a timeout on the new Elon Musk model, right?
I hadn't seen the timeout, because I think
he's going with the timeout model, so that if you are naughty, because you did say naughty by the way, if you are naughty, you get put on the naughty step, and you'll be banned, or a timeout ban for a little bit.
That doesn't sound entirely different to what it is now, though.
Yeah.
Although I suppose it can be more permanent at the moment. I know if you, for example, dead name someone on Twitter at the moment, I think you get your account taken forever. So I don't know how this would work with that. I think the main point, though, is he's trying to bring the rules in line with the existing laws on free speech, rather than kind of Twitter having essentially their own laws that are above and beyond what is legally free speech.
I think what happened with Silicon Valley is, if you went back 10 years ago, they're all about free speech. They've always said that they wouldn't ban things on their platforms. In fact, they were... very reticent to change anything or take posts down. But I think two things happened. I think Donald Trump happened, and then I think COVID happened, and both of those things spread misinformation. So therefore, there was this imperative by these social media networks to kind of fall into line and take down stuff, which is a fake, essentially whatever you want to call it, fake news or bad propaganda or untruths.
But that's tricky then, because then you've got people deciding, being the arbiters of truth. And if somebody says something, if somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, that's blatantly untrue. Admittedly, that's not a particularly damaging one. But what if it, I think as soon as you start taking down untruths or misinformation, then you're on kind of a slippery slope to taking down stuff that you just don't like, which is kind of what he says that it's become, Elon Musk says.
I mean, it's interesting. You can't argue with the fact that it has become far more tightly regulated over the last 2 years. So that's my point, right? Like, that's a truth. Yeah. So that is that's a truth just there. But I think the wider conversation is, you know, things like the storming of the Capitol. Could it be used to create hype around an untruth that has real world consequences? Anyway,
but that's the thing, with something like that you'd probably still get banned. And Elon Musk has even said, like,
no, you get time out. Oh, I'm on the naughty step. Oh no, I caused a riot in the Capitol.
Well, so there'd be not, I don't think so. I think there's still going to be some, you can still lose your account potentially if it's like inciting violence or kind of what's seen legally as hate speech. Then I think you'd still lose your account according to that.
There is probably a greater change that will happen to Twitter over the sort of next 5 years. And there's no sort of really denying that, you know, Elon Musk does, I don't know, there is vision there that captures attention. There is a drive there that people buy into. I'm going to come to you, Siva. What do you reckon of this? What do you reckon of Elon Musk, I guess?
Do you know what? I'm just sat here in awe just listening to the both of you talk about it, because when the news broke, the first thing I did was jump onto it just to see what people are saying. And the trending tweet was, all this fuss, all this money, when I've literally just, you know, installed this app for free. Yes, you know, the guy, Elon Musk, has got a lot of money. And I think Twitter's already got, it's a great concept. It doesn't really need much changing. So I don't think much is going to change, to be fair. It's just a big name.
Gina, do you use Twitter?
No. Me and my big mouth don't use Twitter. I don't use Twitter.
Have you been banned? Are you one of the people that's been banned?
The world is Gina's Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. You guys have to listen to it, like, in person. But this, yeah, I don't care about this story. I don't care about him. Like, it doesn't bother me, so that's all I have to say.
I feel like you feel very much for Elon Musk the same way you feel about James.
Yeah, I think so. I don't care.
Don't care.
I'm joking. That's mean.
But it's interesting that you don't use Twitter, because this is the thing about Twitter. Like, when you actually dig into it, it's got a really small usage compared to something like Facebook. I think the numbers of, it's got 217 million daily users compared to 2.8 billion users from the Meta family. But what Twitter does have is it has influence, I guess. So, like, the people that are talking on Twitter, they're anything from politicians to journalists to celebrities. And that's where I kind of have a bit of beef with Twitter, because it's like, for an everyman, there's fuck all to do on it. Like, no one cares about what you're not going to get in a conversation. You've got more chance of going on to the boomer network, i.e. Facebook, and arguing with randoms about a random article than you are tweeting something and anyone coming back to you, unless you have that profile. Yeah. So there is something about Twitter that it is a little bit elitist.
Well, it's kind of exactly not elitist, though, because if anybody gave a shit about what those people were saying, then they can get followers. Like, I appreciate what you're saying, but lots of those people will have a bigger profile because people actually care about what they're saying. Not Derek from Scunthorpe saying, had radishes today.
True. Like, I actually agree with you. I feel like Twitter's a great place where you can go on there and you don't need to be taken too seriously. It's literally just an opinion. I actually laugh more on that app. Actually, no, TikTok is up there. But Twitter, I think, for such an old app, I think it's still a great time. Because you're not taken too seriously on it.
Do you think that Gen Z are, right? Yeah. Like, do you think that it's actually still holds weight amongst that generation?
Yeah, for me it does, because of the reason that the fact that you can literally just say anything. You just say, I've had 10 apples today. And no one, like, you're not embarrassed to say that, because no one cares.
How many followers have you got?
Sibby, you need to think about your content. You're like, jeez. Like, he's talking about Derek saying stuff. You're like, I've had 10 apples. No, you ain't adding anyone in that, and no one's coming back, just so we're clear.
That's an awful lot of sugar as well.
Yeah, not good.
I've engaged with Twitter like twice in my life. And what I mean by that is I've done sustained campaigns on Twitter. One was around the election for Donald Trump. Like, a mate of mine made a track, and I made a video for it. It was like a little hip hop track, and I tried to swing the election from the UK, like a little bit like a Russian bot. But what I'm trying to get at is it is quite rewarding when you get into it. So I was like, you know, I became part of the blue wave, which was the Democrats, just everyday Joes that were trying to push like the Democrat agenda. And then once you kind of get to know people and you kind of you pick a cause there, that's where Twitter is interesting. The other thing it's interesting is for real-time news. So when something's happened, yeah, news agencies don't report it at first because quite rightly they're waiting to clarify that news, but you go onto Twitter and you can find out stuff really, really quickly. And so that's why I find it's an interesting platform.
Do you remember Ollie Mers tweeted?
Oh my god,
that he thought Ollie Mers tweeted that like a bomb had gone off on Oxford Street, when it was literally not a bomb, it was like a loud noise, and then he got loads of backlash for it.
Do you remember when he stuck his knob in a Pringles can?
No. Why do you know that?
Because I'm a man of the world. Cool. He got a load of backlash.
So I'm going to close down this story because I'm uninterested by it and I don't want to further this conversation. All right,
it's
then.
It's so true. Like, if WhatsApp is down, the first app that you go to is check Twitter.
So fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that brings it back to the point. What I think is interesting about this story is, what is Elon Musk going to do with it? He's obviously a man of vision. He's a clever man. Whether you like him or don't like him, I think he's super invested in what he's doing. And he is going to be looking for opportunity in it. He has said that he's not even that bothered about the business model of it at first. He just wants to make it work. So I'm actually quite interested to see what he's going to do with it. Like, you know, let's go. Let's see.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah, I'm with you. All hail Lord Elon.
We've got a super fan here.
All right, okay, well, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting discussion. What have you got next?
Well, we're kind of sticking with the theme a little bit, because one of the things that I noticed on this that was quite funny was a load of people saying that they're going to leave Twitter now, like somebody who was they're on a sitcom in the 70s saying, oh, I'm going to leave Twitter. So there's like a new social media app called Be Real, which has apparently become particularly popular with Gen Z, although I must have missed that particular memo. And basically, it's an app that sends out a notification at a random time during the day, which gives users like a 2-minute window to take a photo front and back of whatever they're doing at that time. That's it.
I'm going to go straight to our fresh-faced next geners. Right, does that sound like good socials to you?
It sounds a bit forced to me. It sounds very similar to Snapchat, but with Snapchat, we've got that freedom and that choice. But with Be Real, it's almost like a Big Brother-esque.
It's like fake authentic. It's like, oh, let's be authentic and all post what we're doing at this given time, because you're going to get a random notification, but it's not actually authentic because you're being told to take a photo at a certain time. It's a bit odd.
And it can be so awkward. Imagine you're in the toilet. Or imagine you're in a...
You're not contractually bound to take a photo.
I must do it. Oh no, this is going to be terrible.
Tim is always on the toilet.
I don't get it. So what? When you go on the app...
It gives you a notification. You take a photo of whatever you're doing at the time. And I kind of get it, because it's like, oh, you know, let's be real. Let's be real. And like not plan everything we're going to post on social media. But I do think it's a bit like... I don't see the appeal.
Listen, you use social media for purpose. Like, it's not something that you do just because you know it's there. It's you use it to socialize, to show off, to tell a story,
to post funny things.
There's no point behind it.
Hold up. Right. So what people do choose to do on social media is they choose to post stories, and you know, different social media platforms offer different parts of your character. I completely get that. But like these sort of curated stories of me going to a gig or going to a bar or going to whatever, when I choose to turn on my phone, are good for people that are willing to do that. But there are plenty of people that are probably doing cool shit that just like don't bother doing that.
We're doing cool shit, Gareth.
Okay, we're doing cool shit right now.
Actually, true. Maybe for people that would like to be more active on social media but forget to, this could be perfect.
I don't think it's just going to be an introvert network.
Me at home again, watching TV by myself and my cat.
And also, this is the thing, it's meant to be like the antithesis to the inauthenticity of Instagram, which is hard to say. But I don't need to see, I kind of want to see the best highlights than this shit. I prefer the kind of curated.
Who's got a TikTok account here?
Yeah. I mean, it's in private, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't post, but I have one.
No, because TikTok has a reputation of being way more real than Instagram. Instagram now feels like a fucking brochure about your life. Like, it's got, like, amazing looking photos of yourself and then the amazing places that you're being. It's basically updated Facebook for this generation, right? That's what Instagram has become. So we do probably need platforms, because I guarantee you in about 5 years' time, you'll be like, oh my God, you're still on Instagram? That's so sweet. Oh, babes. So I think we'll probably be changing, you know, socials as we evolve, right? So there is always need for new socials. Who thought that TikTok would be such a thing? But, like, you know, lockdown happened and boom, it's like one of the biggest things that we've got. So maybe it does have something to offer. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to join it soon, but what's the stats like? Who is joining it?
It's something like I don't have the stats locked and loaded, ready to go, but I think, like, over the last month, like, downloads went up like 1,000% or something, and I've just heard whisperings in the corridors of the Gen Z communities about this Be Real gizmo.
Gen Z corridors. Gene, have you been there?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No.
It's a very exclusive club.
So, Siva, you're already smiling. She's, I feel like
she's so happy about this.
She
story.
Feels like she's got a strong story. Have you got a strong story to bring to the? Cool shit this week that you'd like the editorial team to consider, Siva?
Yeah, I'm actually really, really proud of this one.
Did you do it?
Have you been producing your own cool shit just to make it in?
I wish, honestly, no, I wish. This one is Burger King's new out of home advert.
She called it out of office earlier. I was like, oh, it's out of home, babes.
It's also accurate.
It's basically a poster. So it's outside someone's door, right? So they've been delivered Burger King. And from these doors, you can basically tell who lives there. So I'm going to show it to everyone. Do you see what they've done?
Order without leaving home. Order without leaving home.
Can't you tell who the doors are?
Can you tell? There's two doors. One's got big shoes and one's got a walking stick.
Oh, what, is it Mackie's or something?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but... Gareth's walking this out, Colonel Sanders.
Come on, guys.
Okay, so we've got two images. One, you've got a red door with a walking stick, and the other one's a yellow door with big clown shoes. So insinuating that it's Colonel's, you know, KFC and McDonald's, Old McDonald's. What's his
name? Ronald.
Ronald McDonald's. Old McDonald's. He had a
farm. Old McDonald's had a restaurant. It was rather big.
Ronald McDonald's houses. So it's basically KFC and McDonald's are ordering. Saying that Burger King is so good that they're ordering it to their own house. I think that is brilliant marketing. And I think it's a brilliant ad.
So is that an advert, is that? Or is that just socials? Is that like a... It's an out-of-home, like you said. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, like, we've talked about Burger King before and their sort of like challenger mentality of being a little bit in your face. There you go, like calling out its two biggest rivals there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do we think? What do you think? James, what do you think of it?
I'm normally a fan of Burger King, but I don't know if this is doing it for me, because I don't think it's obvious enough that Burger King's superior to KFC and McDonald's to work. That I don't think it's chiming on like a sort of... I don't know, a common viewpoint where you think, oh yeah, that makes sense, because nobody orders Burger King over KFC and McDonald's.
James, but I think I agree with that, and basically, I think they know that. For them to show that it's they bold. Are talking about KFC with just a walking stick with colours, they can tell like they are like iconic, you know.
It's salty. Burger King, it's salty. It's cheeky. Yeah,
it is. Like, it's just, very salty. That's part of the problem.
You wouldn't do like a typical Burger King house or just front door if they're not, you know, that in your face like that. And I think they've used that to their advantage, that McDonald's and KFC are more, you know, popular and liked by others, but have, you know, done it in a cheeky way. The fact that McDonald's and KFC actually ordered Burger King to their house, I think it's just genius.
I like how cheeky it is.
Yeah.
I think, again, like sort of the challenger mentality thing means that Burger King know the space that they work in. And as a creative, if you're working on Burger King, you're always going to be trying to pull stuff out, going, oh, what about this? What about that? And I feel like that's one of those ideas that I'm really sorry, Siva, that I'm a little bit with James
that's
on.
That's what I'm saying. Because often they set the bar quite high. I'm just like, you know what the brief would have been. And you're like, is this really the best?
Oh. Yeah, the brief is going to be like to be shocking, to make people think different, to be disruptive, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit somber. It's a little bit quiet. It's a little bit... I don't know. Like, I get it. I have to think about it, and I get it. Like, oh, Ronald McDonald.
It's like, where's Wally? Like,
you know.
It's interesting. I'm on the fence. That's what I'm saying. I'm on the fence. I think it could be a little bit more punchy, but also it's interesting. It's sort of like the ideas when you're sitting there and you're looking at the ideas that are on the table. You're like, yeah, that's a good one. What are the other ones? And you definitely put it in the mix. But you'd hope there was an idea in there.
That's exactly how I feel. I think it was like 80% a really good idea, but I'm not blown away by it.
It is quiet, actually. I do agree with you.
It's quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
It's
Gina flip-flops.
I am such a flip-flopper, to be fair, yeah.
Okay, it's interesting. Gina, old flip-flopper over here.
Yeah.
What have you brought?
I'm probably going to say it's so good, and then after you guys rip it to bits, I'll be like, yeah, I agree.
Sorry, Siva.
It's okay. It's food-related again. It's Deliveroo's new campaign called How Do You Deliveroo? And it's really cool. It's a series of videos. It's free videos. So, like, all 30-second videos. And the first one is called The Order. So it's, like, capturing how exciting it is when you're ordering a takeaway, which is quite exciting, unless you're, like, sad and hungover by yourself.
It's still sort of exciting.
But like, you know when you're like with a group of people and you're like buzzing to order, like you're getting home from work, whatever.
It's a vibe, isn't
it? It is a vibe, and it's this guy and his like confetti coming down, and he's really happy that he's ordered this pizza or whatever. And then the second video is called The Arrival, so it's like the really exciting experience of the guy coming to your door, you're setting up your plates, you're like dishing out all the food. Then the third one is them like actually eating it and who's going to get the last bite. I just thought it was quite clever because we all love ordering delivery or Uber Eats or any kind of takeaway, and it does capture it quite well.
I haven't seen it,
but you described it so beautifully. I felt like I was there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you can picture it.
Yeah, no, I can. And what I'm picturing isn't even slightly similar to how I order a Deliveroo.
How do you order a Deliveroo? Hungover in bed.
And the guy arrives, and is, as if there's some fanfare, is me shuffling towards my door, trying not to make eye contact more than usual, and then retreating to my bed to eat it alone.
That's more common than usual. I dread opening the door. I just wish I'd just leave it there. This is why I loved like the pandemic, because they left it at the door. You know, that option.
No, but James, it's funny you said that, because I think that's the point of this campaign, like bringing the excitement back into ordering a takeaway, because everyone thinks of delivery like, oh, I need something quick, I'm hungover or I'm tired or whatever. Yeah. So this is like to like pick it back up a bit. I really liked it. I thought it was nice.
It's got a good understanding of what like the trigger points are of ordering like a takeaway, and I've got to admit, it is quite an exciting thing. Like, and we do live in a special age of home delivery now. We can get anything, and when I look over at Nikki and I'm like, "Oh, shall we?" She's like, "What?" You're like, "Fuck cooking!" And like, there is an excitement about it, and like you say, when you've got friends over, that excitement is like that's trebled.
Yeah, it's
right?
heightened. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's totally heightened.
And it's like a little bit funny. I think it's good.
I like it as well.
Yeah, I like deliveries campaigns. They're usually spot on.
Mm-hmm. Weren't you in one?
I was.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
hello.
Good memory. How did you remember that?
So you were in a campaign
it
for...
It wasn't like a proper, like a big...
Can I say I'm really happy we're talking about this it right was now? Because I didn't know when to, like, for her to get it out.
It was just a PR stunt. It was a PR stunt for delivery to celebrate Matilda's anniversary. And I pretended to be a Deliveroo driver and was like, I'm going to eat a whole chocolate cake like Bruce. And I basically looks like I've eaten like a massive chocolate cake.
Do you not actually eat all of it?
No, I could. There's no way I couldn't.
I was thinking that at the time.
It was really huge.
Okay, well then, shame on you, Deliveroo.
You've done an ad for Deliveroo. You've brought a Deliveroo ad to Cool Shit. Sponsor her now.
Yeah,
right
Deliveroo,
now.
Sponsor me right now. Or Gina, give me a meeting. Do you guys need production help? Because I love your production.
So, like, it's not down to me, really. It's down to James, but I'm just going to be controversial. If I had to choose one of the your story or Siva's story, I'd go with the Burger King over that.
Yes!
Because
it has the
strategy is correct, as in like it understands like the love for, you know, ordering takeaway, but the delivery is just a little bit meh meh meh. At least what the Burger King one is doing is it's making me think, and I am rewarded from the Burger King one. I'm reevaluating it, Siva. I'm rewarded for kind of like going like who is that? Oh yeah, shit, that's Ronald McDonald. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Colonel. So anyway, we'll come on to that later, but that's what I say about that.
Okay, cool.
Another food story. Like, you two.
I'm so hungry. I am starving.
Look, save the podcast, Gareth. Give me one I can put in.
I like the chopsticks one.
Well, exactly. Yeah, here we are. So foodies may no longer have to reach for the salt shaker if their dishes lack if their dishes lack savour.
Salt doesn't automatically mean savour.
Right.
Like savoury, you know?
So Japanese scientists developed chopsticks that amplify the saltiness of food without having to add any salt. So this could greatly help people who are on a low sodium diet, researchers say. Well, I think in Japan, there's, you know, the salt intake is quite high because of the food.
Yeah.
And the style of food. So what this thing does is it actually works by putting an electrical current in your mouth that tricks your taste buds into thinking it's tasting salt.
Yeah, I like
and
it.
And therefore you don't need to add salt to your to your food. I think you have to be a real fucking salt head to like oh, I love my salt, but as doctors tell me, no more salt. There is nothing I can do. What do you mean? What do you mean? There's chopsticks? I feel like you have to really appreciate salt for this one. But I think as a piece of technology,
it's cool.
That's a madness.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's gimmicky, but it's really cool. And I would like to try it. I probably wouldn't buy it, but I'd try it if someone had it.
It's actually amazing. No, imagine the opposite end. Imagine the same thing, but for sweet. You know how you have a sweet tooth after having a savoury meal? And just having that instead of a chocolate cake.
The possibilities are endless.
Oh, that is amazing. That's cool.
Yeah.
James, what do you think of this one?
Nah.
Nah?
What?
Nah. That's just that's a little chemistry joke. I actually really like it.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
The delay on that.
I know, these jokes get worse.
They do. Yeah, no, I'm a pretty salty guy. I'd go for it.
Well, who has too much? I think we're all told we have too much salt in our diets because we all eat things that are already like processed and have a load of salt in them. But like, who has too much salt here? Who's like a...
My nan, actually, since...
We mentioned her last week.
We've got a pattern of bringing up my nan. she has quite a lot of salt on her food, so...
This could help.
She could do with that. Although I don't think she knows how to use chopsticks, so...
Can always... Never too late to start learning.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Can everyone use chopsticks here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means
you do not look like you could use chopsticks either.
I don't know. It's too slow for me. I feel like
it's really hard. It makes you slow down. Yeah. It makes you savour it.
I don't know. I love food too much. I just need to have it right now.
Okay. Someone get a spoon for Sibba.
It's a wide straw.
Baby Sibba needs a spoon.
There's been quite a few stories there. Quite a few food stories, got to say. Didn't know there'd be so much food. I'm trying to wrap this podcast up because I'm hungry now. But what are you thinking, James?
It wouldn't feel quite right kind of bashing the Deliveroo and Burger King ones and then putting them in, knowing that we've said they're a bit meh. And even though I don't know how useful the salty chopsticks would be, I'm kind of impressed by the novelty and the science behind them, if they actually work. This anonymous group of Japanese scientists, which they're spending their time doing the important stuff. But I like it. I like it, and I think that would make it in.
Worth noting, why we do this podcast is because James writes and produces a weekly newsletter that rounds up all the cool shit that's happened this week. Where would they go and find that, James?
www.zachagency.com/coolshit.
It took him 4 weeks to be able to do that. 4 weeks in a row before he could do that. So why don't you go and check it out? Check out the newsletter. If you're not following it already, please do. And gotta say, these guests, they're back for a reason. You're back for a reason, and you will be back again, right?
I'm flattered.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Sorry about that dinner party you were going to.
It's fun.
It's only Deliveroo, let's face it.
Burger King.
James, I will see you next week.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow, but yeah.
For the sake of the podcast.
See you next week, Gareth.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.